Human, you are entering an improvised comedy show, restricted to humans only. Improv for Humans, with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's episode features human guests, Chris Gethard and Pam Murphy.
Welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. Here with my old buddies, Pam, Chris. We were just talking about a small world stuff, like where Pam grew up is where Chris lives now, kind of, or where your mom is or something like that. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love those connections. And some people are like, whatever, like, okay, coincidence. I'll talk way too long to a stranger. First off, welcome to the show, Pam. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt.
Yeah. So you guys are both from Jersey. Mm-hmm. So that's the connection you have. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you guys have the same thing. Probably not as much. Well, with Chris, he's Mr. Jersey. But when, like, you're at Disneyland, for instance, like I just was, and this happened twice at Disneyland, and it's a perfect example of a large place where you're going to run into a large amount of people. Thus, I'm going to see at least one or two people with an Arkansas shirt on. And a lot of people see me with, I don't think I did have an Arkansas shirt on, but I imagine other Arkansans would see me with an Arkansas shirt and not say anything to me. Just go, okay, there goes a guy from Arkansas who likes Arkansas. But I'll walk 20 yards, you know, I'll walk across Goofy's fly school to go, hey, you from Arkansas? Like, and almost, and people sometimes look at me like I'm saying, hey, did you rob that store? They look like, whoa. I said that to this guy right when he was walking into Disney, and I just walked in, and I saw him with an Arkansas shirt on, and I was like, hey, how about them hogs? And he looks at me and he's like, it gives me kind of a, yeah, okay. I'm like, where are you from? Like specifically in Arkansas, where are you from? And like, he thinks we're just going to do a wave and he's going to get to his first ride, but I'm much more interested, you know, I'm from Little Rock. Where are you from? And he's like, I'm from Rogers. And I'm like, oh, Rogers. Cause I do know Rogers. It's next to this lake. I like Chris and Pam. And I'm like, Beaver Lake. Yeah. And now he's looking at me like, okay. He's not looking at me like, all right, let's talk about Beaver Lake. He's looking at me like, okay, this guy does know Rogers, but I'm at Disney and I don't really want to talk about Rogers right now.
But it seems like you're very accusatory when you're approaching these people.
With my tone of voice?
Yes, your tone. Yeah. You're like, prove it to me. Where exactly?
Yeah, it probably does sound like that. Let's do a scene on that.
Oh, we have the perfect weather for today.
Could not be nicer. Could not be nicer. And we were worried.
How silly.
How about them hogs?
Is he talking?
Hey.
Hey.
How about them hogs, huh?
They bounced back that last game. Yeah, it was cool.
I think they might last make the game. How about the new recruiting class?
I mean, that's gonna be a game changer. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank definitely. You. Anyway, I'm from Arkansas. What's up?
Honey, if we want to get on Space Mountain, we should really go now because there's gonna be a long line. I'm looking on the app.
Sure. Yeah. Oh,
great. Space Mountain will be there. Space Mountain will be there all day. Like every mountain, it won't move. Speaking of mountains, how about them Ozarks?
Yeah. Quality mountains. So nice to meet you. Really great to see you. Glad
that you guys from specifically in Arkansas.
Honey, we don't have to
answer this. I'm from LR.
We don't have to answer this, man. We can go on with our day.
Yeah.
Hey, I can hear you. I mean, There's not many Arkansans here. That's why I get excited.
Okay,
well, I'm just trying to connect.
Well, we spent a lot of money to come on this trip.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
It's also my make-a-wish trip.
Yes, oh. My husband is dying.
I'm going to be dead in 3 days.
They do it for adults.
They do it for adults now.
It's adult make-a-wish. So while I do want to connect with you about Arkansas, I tell you this is the 7th time we've scheduled this trip, and we're finally here, so it
why would you leave Arkansas when you're dying? It's the natural state, dude. You know that.
I've always wanted to go to
Disneyland. You could go to the Ozarks, go to Hemden Hollow and the Buffalo River.
I've been to all those places you just named so many times. I know them backwards and forwards, like the back of my own hand. But I've wanted to go to Disneyland my whole life, and I'm finally here. And
if you want to go to amusement park, go to Silver Dollar City over in Branson.
We've been there. Okay. He doesn't have a lot of time and you're wasting a good amount of it. Please.
Silver Dollar City, best funnel cakes that side of the Mississippi.
You guys are looking for Goofy. You are acting Goofy if you don't want to talk about the Razorbacks football season we're going to have this year. Let's start with the hardest schedule in the nation. No one wants to talk about that.
No one wants to acknowledge that. 3 days to live. 3 days, 72 hours.
I hear you.
To spend them with
we
me.
We should be talking about Arkansas baseball if that's the season we're in.
Look, I'm sorry, but I am not from Arkansas and I have no idea. I feel very alienated by this conversation and it's really upsetting me.
You married a woman not from Arkansas?
Sir, every minute that passes is another minute I don't get to spend with my loved ones on this planet Earth.
Let's walk and talk.
You haven't even asked me what I'm dying of.
I felt that was intrusive. Okay, what are you dying of?
That was intrusive.
That was intrusive.
Your whole demeanor is intrusive, sir. Honey, please.
Just tell me where you were standing in Arkansas when you found out what you were dying of. That interests me a little more. What hospital?
The steps of the state house, actually.
That's weird.
Why is that weird?
Your doctor delivered the news on the steps of the state house?
He called him on a cell phone, sir. I have
a rare condition. And I've been lobbying for a few years to get more funding for it. It had not been deemed terminal. I was coming out of a meeting with a state senator when I got the call from my doctor on the steps of the state house. Now, again, if you'd show any interest in asking me what I'm dying of, I could fill you in more on that. And that would have made more sense. But you don't seem to care about that. You just want to talk about the ever popular conversation topic of college baseball.
Honey, please. Let's just walk away from him. We can just walk away.
I'm sorry. You guys have a good time on Space Mountain. And they do go to Space Mountain. They'd go these other rides. And Matt goes his own way. And he finds himself by himself on the Haunted Mansion ride. On the part where you go through and you look at the mirror. And you see that there's a ghost next to you that hitched a ride. And he thinks about death and that guy that he'll soon be a ghost. And he feels really bad. He leaves the Haunted Mansion. He realizes the sun's going down. He runs around the park looking at him. He sees them online for It's a Small World. Hey, it's me again.
Hey,
what's up? You had a good day?
Outside of a couple blips here and there, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good to say that I had a good day because, again, I have 3 days. So the fact that this one day was good, that means one third of my remaining days on Earth.
Yeah, 33%.
Yeah, pretty good.
Wow, it's weird that we started off the day me connecting with you about Arkansas, and here we are at the end of the day at It's a Small World, because it is a small world, isn't it?
Yeah, okay. It's a small world. We get it.
No. This is what I really want to do is I felt bad about what happened earlier, and especially when I looked at a ghost hitching a ride next to me. And I feel bad I didn't ask you what you're dying of. So I'm here at the end of this first day of dying to ask you what you're dying of.
Dying to ask.
I had just managed to forget you. And now you come back. And
he was ranting and raving about you this entire day. Okay. We waited online 45 minutes for Peter Pan.
It's that's a 2-minute ride.
Yeah, it's a 2-minute ride. Well, people say you got to do it.
Well, you got to fast pass the Peter Pan.
The entire
while you
time.
Do the teacup.
You can't burn your fast pass on Peter Pan.
The entire time.
Fast pass on Peter Pan? Are you out of your mind?
The entire time.
Look, buddy, don't argue with me about fast pass. I don't give a shit if you have 2 days to live.
Honey, don't get excited, okay? Don't get excited. It's not good for your condition.
Did you just say
what condition?
I don't give
that's
a shit.
That's what I'm here to ask.
2 days to live? I have iris lupus.
Iris lupus.
Yeah, it's lupus that starts in your eyes, the center of your eyes, and it emanates outwards.
Ugh.
Sir.
I'm sir. I feel good. Just say you have lupus next time.
You come
well, it's
all
a very
the way back.
Rare condition. He told you he's an activist
know,
for it.
I know, but we don't need the specifics.
Who are you just here with, lupus. Sir? Who are what? You here with?
My family. I was supposed to be here with my family, but I lost him at the top of the day.
Oh,
when I was connecting with you about Arkansas.
Oh my god!
And scene, and that pretty much almost did happen. Daniel's like Matt.
Jersey's kind of interesting because it's pretty divided, north, central, and south. People live like very different ways. Like I grew up in North Jersey, and Pam. Where you described to me, that's like real central Jersey.
Yes.
Like classy and quiet and kind of like sleepy and.
Must have been hard for you, Pam.
It was tough. It was tough. I would say it used to be very rural and now it's pretty suburban. Like people sold their farms to make condos and townhomes and malls and stuff.
And that's within our lifetime.
Yes.
I've seen that driving through there. But. There's a funny thing where like a lot of the sections of Jersey, if people meet in Jersey and the borders, like if I met somebody from South Jersey, we wouldn't have much to talk about in Jersey. But if I'm in California and I meet somebody from South Jersey, we're like best fucking friends.
Right, right. You know? I know. Well, South Jersey, they root for like Philly teams.
Yeah.
They're more, I guess, loyal to Philadelphia because they're
really?
Closer. Yeah.
Interesting.
I would say, wouldn't you say that's true?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They say they have the Philly accent, like an iteration of the Philly
accent.
Yes,
they do.
Mm-hmm. And much more rural. And we would say, like up in North Jersey, we would make fun of them by saying that it's kind of like hicks down there. Mm-hmm. And they would say, like, I live in like a garbage industrial wasteland in North Jersey. And neither are true. But people give each other endless shit. But again, it's kind of like the further you get away from Jersey, the less that matters.
Right. Right.
So the geography you just said was the Philly people treated New Jersey people like they're from an industrial wasteland?
The North Jersey.
The South Jersey people who would identify as like Philly fans and
okay,
Philly metro
it.
Area, they would look up at where I grew up, which is outside of New York, and they'd be like, that's like Sopranos, that's where all like the Jersey Shore, Benny's, like they call them Benny's, is like North Jersey people come hang out down the Jersey Shore and just like make a drunken spectacle of themselves. Mm-hmm. Like they live in like an industrial wasteland. Whereas I'd be like, oh, if you're living in like Gloucester, Camden County growing up, it would have been like, oh, you might as well just grow up in like the Mississippi Delta for, you know, culturally. And neither, again, to be fair,
easy.
Neither of those things is true. Neither one is true. But we really do love a fight in Jersey.
Okay, we cut to the border. And there's like a car wash on one side of the border and an abandoned Dairy Queen on the other side. And there's kind of a train tracks where rarely a train goes by. And we cut to the north side of it. Okay, I just think if we're going to start this, that, I don't know. I feel like we got to bring more details to why they're less than us this time, because we're just kind of running through the same. I'm bored myself with our own insults, just going, you guys are hicks. You know, like, why are they hicks? Because I've never been down there. are let's too far down there.
Let's say they fuck animals and see how they react. Let's dive deep into some hip specifics.
Guys, come on. This doesn't feel good to me, okay? This feels a little wrong.
Well, you're from Central Jersey. That's very Central Jersey.
They're New Jerseyans just like us. All New Jerseyans.
Take this gentle bullshit back to Hunterdon County or wherever that flies.
This is the Mercer Garden County. State, okay? Look, we're all part of the glorious Garden State.
I'm Jersey enough that I want to fight, but I want to fight over specifics that I understand, not just some ritualistic insults that have been passed down through the generations. I want to know why they really are less than, like, why are they? Are they fucking animals?
Who's
like, you know, that guy Timo? He fucked that dog at in our town.
Yeah, but Timo's fucked up. Timo's fucked up in the head. You're gonna hold Timo up as the example? Also, don't tell people that. Don't tell them that. They'll use it against
us. It happened, and people are gonna say it happened because of industrial waste or something.
Look, guys, I just want to buy some nice things from the L.L. Bean catalog, some sensible clothes. Okay.
Well, all you people from like Lawrenceville and West Windsor and Plainsboro, you might have that luxury to live that way. Some of us have rough lives and we need to take it out on other people who haven't done anything to us.
Okay. I'm just trying to bring a little peace.
Chris, the last time you had a fight with someone from South Jersey, what were you guys pretending it was over? Or what was it over, I guess I should say?
The last actual fist fight I got in was with a Jersey Shore guy. And see, I consider the Jersey Shore South Jersey. Some people don't. But I did get in a fist fight.
Well, I'm your friend, so I do.
I got in a fist fight at the Stone Pony.
No way. We're
the historic Stone. The historic Stone Pony.
During a Weezer show.
Weezer show. Wow.
These references are coming hot and heavy. Then what happened?
It was really strange. So this dude...
There must have been a famous actor there. Throw in one more cool reference.
I wish. Yeah. Also, yeah. Fucking, yeah. Parker Posey was watching the whole thing. No, it was... this was many, many years. This is probably like 2002, 2003.
I think we're too old to even be fighting with these people, to be honest.
We are.
Jersey. Yeah. Go ahead, finish your story.
I'm in my 40s. Yeah.
2002.
I was at the Stone Pony watching Weezer. A guy bumped into me, so I kind of shoved him off. Not hard, kind of just more like, stop leaning on me. I would say typical behavior at any rock show since the beginning of rock and roll. And all of a sudden, I felt a circle clearing, and I was like, oh, there's going to be a fight. And then I realized he was trying to fight me.
End scene. So this is a real story, right, Chris?
Yeah, I had no idea if we were in a real scene.
No, keep going.
I screwed that one up. Sorry about that.
No. I'm loving it. I just wanted to know this was real.
So this is real. So yeah, the guy, I had seen Weezer the night before at Irving Plaza in New York. So I saw them two nights in a row. And when I was there, I'd met this guy. He was a really nice dude. And I had no idea he was at the Stone Pony. So this Jersey Shore, like cross-eyed drunk, like very, very typical, like 2002, 2003 Jersey Shore, like skater punk. Like this guy went to the Warped Tour every year, like big jean, like Blink 182 fan, aggro skater wannabe punk kid, you know, bleach blonde hair. He starts charging at me and I could tell he's so drunk he can barely even like stand up. And I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. And then out of nowhere, the dude who I'd been talking to the night before, a guy who I didn't know, I just met him at Irving Plaza randomly before the Weezer show. He saw it and he recognized me and he ran in and got in between me and the guy.
Really?
The drunk dude swings at that guy, misses, and then stumbles and winds up punching that guy's girlfriend directly in the face.
Oh, no.
So he punched a girl. And me and the dude.
I punched a girl. And I like, no, that's terrible. It's never me mind.
Pam, write that up, but let's not do that now.
The guy who helped me and him just grabbed this dude and just like took him down. And security was there real quick. It wasn't a long fight, but we just like threw this guy on the ground and kicked him a couple times. And it was the last time I've been in a fight. Yeah. Last time I was in a fight.
Interesting.
Yeah, of all shows. And then the guy came back later, and I thought he was going to try to fight me. It was during Say It Ain't So by Weezer. And he, like, the crowd started to clear out again, and I was like, fuck. And he was like, I just want to apologize, man. I was just all fucking charged up because I really love Weezer. I love Weezer so much, man. And he, like, kept trying to put his arm around me and sing along, and I was like, we don't need to have an arm-in-arm sing-along.
If it was an Oi band, I would say Gethard is in the wrong.
Yeah, at that point.
The Oi show, everyone should lock arms.
Punch each other in the face.
Oi, oi, oi.
But the guy
Weezer's not like that.
The guy didn't get kicked out of the venue.
No, security came and got him, and I was pretty shocked to see that he came back. I was pretty shocked.
We cut to the parking lot after the show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, I found out your name, man.
Yeah, hey, dude. Listen.
I just want to say one more thing.
Okay, but I just don't want any fight. I don't want to scrap it out, whichever direction you're heading.
I'm done with fighting, man.
Good, good, good.
The physical portion of this is over.
Sure.
Okay? Great. I'm so sorry about that.
Okay. Apology accepted, man.
And earlier I said it was because how much I loved Weezer. That's not completely true. That wasn't what got me going as much as, how to put it? The ethics of how to enjoy a rock show. I feel like you crossed the line on that and it kind of aggravated me. And I wanted to pull you back in to the way you should enjoy a rock show because you weren't doing it right.
Okay.
And that's why I wanted to get in a fight with you. I don't want to fight you because I calmed down. I don't want to fight you anymore.
Okay. As long as you say there's not going to be a fight now. I mean, my perspective is like you slammed into me pretty hard. You were leaning on me after that. I put my elbow up just to establish a little space. Didn't seem out of line to me. My bad if you felt like it crossed some lines.
Okay. First of all, I slammed into you?
You hit me pretty hard.
Okay. This is the storied stone pony. Some say slam dancing was invented here. Other people are like, no, Southern California. I say, no, it was invented here at the Stone Pony. So if someone slams into you at the story of Stone Pony, you should say thank you. But let's forget about that. Let's just say I did slam into you and I'm sorry for that.
Okay.
I want to focus on I leaned on you?
You were all leaning on me and there was no need for it. There was no need for you to be leaning on me or leaning on me. So just
okay,
put my
now
arm
I'm
up.
Starting to get a little hot again.
Okay.
Because I wasn't leaning on you.
I want you to know.
I was connecting with you the way you should connect. I don't even know what Weezer song it was. Which one was it?
It was Buddy Holly at that point.
Oh, of course. Their breakthrough song.
Yeah, they're probably their biggest single, I would imagine.
And probably the one that you first heard of them.
Sweater song. I heard Sweater Song first, but yeah, Buddy
Don't
Holly.
Don't lie. It was Buddy Holly.
Hey, you do you, I'll do me, man.
Hey, Blink 182, you punched me in the face in there. You punched me in the face.
Oh, boy.
So I did not.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not what
you
that
did.
Was.
Yes, you
was
punched
this also
me in
during
the face.
During Buddy Holly? Because if it was, you guys, do you not get, like, when you hear the song that the band broke through with, you're supposed to turn to each other and kind of go, ha, 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 we were part of it. And you punch them like it's that thing of we're fucking in it together, man, from the beginning. It's fucking Buddy Holly.
We're mad. You started spinning around. Your wallet chain hit a dude in the throat. Your big, gigantic Jenko jeans got tangled up in another person's shoes. They went down. Your frosted tips cut the cheek of the guy next to me. Your visor blinded the girl next to me. You went
You're
crazy.
You're a menace. You're a menace. Why don't you go to a rave
it
or something?
It sounds like everyone's standing still is what the problem is, except for me.
Sounds like you heard the most popular radio single from this band and decided to
the
act
one
like
that they
lunatic.
Broke through with that brought us all together. Before that, we were all going our separate directions wherever we were in life. And then we heard that song and we said, now we're all Weezer fans together. We can roughhouse with each other. We can dunk each other's head in the pool. We're that kind of close to each other.
Speaking of which,
pit in your ear.
Before you slammed into me, I did see you yelled the words, "Let's dunk each other's heads in the pool," jumped over the bar, pushed the bartender's face down into a bucket of ice, and held it there. That was insane behavior. You're acting like I'm the only one who had a problem with you.
How did you not get kicked out of the bar? How did you not get kicked out?
Because the bouncer gets it. He's an OG Weezer fan like me. When I explained all this to him, he got it. Because he also likes Buddy Holly, that song.
Oh, you're an OG Weezer fan? Name another song.
Mm-hmm. How about I just name Pinkerton and just focus on that for an hour? I'll do that too.
Well, that's their second album. What are some tracks off of it?
Hey, motherfucker.
What? What the
fuck? What the fuck?
Dude, what the fuck?
Jesus.
I can't breathe.
What do you mean you can't breathe? Why can't you breathe?
I can't breathe.
What?
Can't
breathe. Asthma or something?
This is really why I'm into Weezer.
Oh
my God.
You I'm thought really it was a band about wheezing?
I'm not into the music, I'm just into the name.
You just thought it was a band that appealed to kids with asthma?
Yeah.
I've never really been in their music. I just love the name because I'm a Weezer.
What do you got? You got an inhaler or an EpiPen or something? What do you... Dude, that was scary, man.
Yeah, I got an EpiPen too. Just like,
you're turning purple back there.
Yeah, I'm a real Weezer. How's Weezer before the band Weezer?
So you're into Weezer because you are an actual physical Weezer. You have a diminished lung capacity.
I was going to call you a poser, but now I'm not.
Thanks.
Now I can see that you're really dedicated.
Thanks.
I get it, man. When I was younger, I'm a little older now. When I was younger, I used to pick bands based purely on their name, too. Like, I was really into Twisted Sister because my sister's real fucked up.
And scene. D. Snyder is a legit, hilarious, funny dude.
Oh, you've met him? Has he done Ass Cat or something?
He was in an episode of... UCB, as it so happens, but it was because I was already a fan of his, because he was on Howard Stern a lot. He was just always just really funny on that.
I think I taught his son improv.
Oh, yeah?
I think his son took classes.
I didn't know that.
From what I remember, yeah. He's like very similar. Like he's like looks like him or he acts like him or whatever.
Yeah, if you remember, he's the one that went up, or one of the people who I believe went up against Tipper Gore, and they really focused on the Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
So funny. Oh, I want to get back to another thing that you guys made me think of when you said, let's get to Space Mountain, because that's exactly, and it's probably such an old school thought that I had too, right when we walked in. I was like, all right, we got to get to Space Mountain first. And there's so many things now that are cooler than Space Mountain, like the Resistance, Space Wars, Star Wars, Space Wars, Star Wars, Resistance ride is the coolest thing. And I'm sure had a much bigger line, but I didn't get there in two different areas. So I was like, they're all in the future world. Let's go there. So all the people, when you get there at the earliest hour, you're all lined up. In a big crowd, not a line, in a big group in front of ropes, in front of whatever land you want to go into, right? So there's like a rope in front of Frontier Land, and there's a rope in front of Fantasy Land. So whichever land you want to get to your ride first, there's a big group of what? At least 100 people in front of each of these lands. And there's people at the top of the rope, and obviously they've been there first, and they're ready to get to whatever ride they're going to go to first. So we get there, and we're at the back of the 100, kind of. We're at the Future Land or Tomorrowland, I guess it's called. And there's two ropes there. There's one that's more obvious that has more of a straight line to all the rides, but there's another rope to the side, and no one was at that rope. So I'm like, I'm going to get at that rope. I'm like, Danielle, let's go to this rope because they're going to let the ropes loose at the same time. And then I'll just scoot around this ride. There's a lot of factors going through my head right now. As a D-list celebrity, I'm like, is anyone going to recognize old Matty B trying to scoot around the ride, making a run for Space Mountain? So that one thing's going through my head. The second thing that's going through my head is they don't let you run there. If you've ever done this, they don't let you run. And they have guys there specifically say, okay, don't run, everybody. So everyone does this weird walk. So you've seen it, Pam? Yeah. They do this run walk.
It's so ridiculous.
It's so funny. And I decided I'm going to have no shame. And I'm 6'2". I'm going to do this run walk better than most of these people. And I'm cutting around the side. Pam, Chris, I was in the lead, Space Mountain boy, doing this hilarious run walk with all these people. It's like a run walk race of 40 people. At one point, we're all like, pretending like I'm not running, but I'm run walking. We come around the bend to Space Mountain. And there's this woman that, you know, working the Space Mountain. And she just has this disappointed look on her face. And we get up, you know, the dozen, the fast walking dozen of us get up there to her. And what does she say? Space Mountain closed.
Oh, they got to tell you that beforehand.
I know.
That's why no one was like ahead of you. It's just 12 people who didn't check the app. Check the app. Check the app.
Oh, no. We were so disappointed. We're all whatever personality that is. So we're all immediately like, now I got to get to the next ride really quick.
And everyone else has a head start on you. Exactly. I thought you were going to tell me that, like, you went to this side thing where nobody was, and then you were like, meh, 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 and you, like, went into a dead end.
Like, oh,
like, you know, like, you went to the side where they have, like, there's like a pixie thing that goes nowhere, like right. Some little pixie walk.
Exactly.
Or there's like
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I did that too. But no, it was more humiliating to have like to be an adult and look over and see other, you know, 12 other adults pretending that we're not racing to be in the front of Space Mountain. Oh. All right. You guys want to do something on that?
Mm-hmm. I want to let you know that we're hiring you to be a part of the Disney family. Congratulations. Not everyone is afforded this this opportunity.
That is so cool. I've been a fan of Disney my whole life. That's so cool.
I know that you had talked about maybe being a ride operator. You said you would also be interested in portraying some of our legendary characters. Mm-hmm. Those, just to be clear, are positions that are given with some seniority. We actually have a job that we think fits your personality, that we think you're going to be great at, that you could really make something of.
My
that.
Personality?
I know you're gunning for Goofy. You made it clear in your interview. What we're going to have you do is generally at Disneyland on any given day, a number of people have their hearts broken. And we're going to have you be the person who goes around and breaks those hearts.
I'm supposed to break hearts? What do you mean?
It's not that you're supposed to break the hearts. It's that the hearts will be broken, and you're going to sort of be the companion to people who have their hearts broken. So when our popular rides are closed, you'll tell them. When food poisoning breaks out at different restaurants, you have to track down all the people who ate there and tell them. If a ride gets stuck and people aren't going to get down for 4 or 5 hours, you're the one who has to tell them. We all know nobody's ever
died. People are going to hate me.
Oh, no.
This
you're part of the Disney
so
family.
Bottom of the ladder.
Well, you start there and you work your way up, and the next thing you know, you'll be good. You know that the guy who plays Goofy right now, he didn't start out just playing Goofy.
How old is he?
He cleaned toilets for years. He cleaned toilets for years. The
How
worst
old is
toilets
he?
We had. Oh, he's 63 years old. He's been doing it forever.
Oh, no.
And he's looking for an apprentice.
Really?
You work your way in from the ground up, and maybe he'll pick you.
Who All knows? Right. I guess I'll do this. We cut to the middle of the day.
Hey, kids, I know everyone's really excited to meet Winnie the Pooh. It's going to be a great day.
Okay, everyone. Sorry about that. We have a little bit of news. Winnie the Pooh has been tested and found positive for COVID.
Winnie the
Pooh. And all we have is, we have Eeyore.
Hello.
Winnie the Pooh? Is he going to die?
He is overweight.
Heavy. He is pretty heavy.
He's in a high-risk category.
He's in a high-risk category.
He doesn't take care of himself. He only eats honey all day.
I love Winnie the Pooh.
Sir,
these guys sound like piglets. It's great.
Sir, is Winnie going to die?
I've never met Winnie. If he does die, I know who's taking over. That's a little Disney joke there.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I don't recognize it from the Disney canon.
You think all Disney jokes that were said by Disney employees have been said in a movie before?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much what this place is. It references all the movies.
Yeah, references. Then you can improvise a little bit.
Oh. My dad saved for 3 years so we could take this vacation. And I told him that my number one goal was to thank Winnie the Pooh for making me happy on days when life made me feel sad.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Even if he was here, it'd pretty much be a quick photo.
So that's all we needed for that photo.
That's all we wanted.
I just wanted a chance to say thank you.
Well, Eeyore's here, and he seems more like your
Eeyore's a sad sack.
He's a real downer. He hates
Eeyore's
life.
A sad sack of a downer. We don't want to meet Eeyore.
He thinks he's like a mistake. He's like, why was I born?
Are you guys talking about me?
Yeah, we are, Eeyore.
Yeah, we are, Eeyore. Face the facts.
I'll give you an autograph, or you can take a photo.
Honestly, no thanks.
You want to take my tail off? It comes off easy.
Have you ever thought about seeing a therapist, Eeyore?
Like, yeah, he quit on me.
Oh, of course.
Porcupine.
Okay. Wow. Oosh.
All right. Well, nothing.
Hey, Eeyore.
No questions?
My question is this. I'm only 7 years old, but ever since you came around, I think I understand what suicidal ideation means.
Insane. What does it mean?
It's like having thoughts of suicide. Suicidal ideas.
That's simple. I just started watching some documentary on this woman, Teal. I should be more educated, but it seems part of her religion is floating the idea of suicide to people.
Oh, my God. I know this lady. She's like, I'm a survivor or whatever. I just watched this documentary, too.
Right.
And it's like she has people come to her thing to like she has all these followers, millions and millions and millions of followers. It's like new age.
I've asked this a million times through my life.
What?
Watching these cult documentaries and getting snippets. They get a snippet. They have full access to her, whatever you want to call it. But when they say, when you have whatever it is, 500 people in a room and someone says something like, relationships are more powerful the more that you can relate with each other. And everyone just goes, like they'll say a convoluted circular thing where you hear it, you're like, you could go, I guess that's true, but it doesn't make much sense. And why are people acting like you just said something that's going to change? Explain it to me. I don't get it.
I don't know. I don't get it either, but I think that They're in a position where they're like so excited to be there. They feel a connection with this woman because they watch her videos and they think like, oh, she
well,
makes
that's
these
where
videos
it starts.
Constantly. She makes
well,
these videos
That's where it starts,
every
the video.
Week.
So what's the video? And what? There must be other people like her doing videos that don't have a million followers. So what is she? What is she?
She has like a whole marketing team. Like you, the one thing was like, we want to get to where like Tony Robbins is. She has like a whole marketing team. You know what I mean? They're all on a Zoom call and they're like, okay, guys, we're getting 2 million views a week, you know, or whatever.
That scene cracked me up. This is almost exactly how it went. It went like, all right, Now she has a million, yeah. And Tony Robbins has 2.5 million. So let's have 4 million by right. December.
That's, they have like goal setting. They treat it like a corporation.
I was like,
and then she was
someone
like,
hired that guy to say that?
And she was like, it's a money making thing, and I hate that about it. You know, like the leader or whatever. She's like, that's what it is. But I think that like people are like, this woman, like, I don't know, they don't have a connection with somebody, or someone else turned them on to it. And they want to have a connection with that person. Okay. And they're like, this woman, it makes sense what she's like. They haven't read any other kind of spiritual books or something. Or like they well, only.
When
they,
my friend tried to bring me into.
Oh, no.
I guess it was asked. It was called something else at the time. I forget what they called it at the time. But his strategy, and it's a common one, is, hey, Matt, will you come to my graduation? And we're adults now. We're in
was
our
it a 101
20s.
Graduation impromptu?
It was delivered like that. And I said, it felt weird because I was like, what am I watching? Because at least with a 101 show, I'm watching a comedy show.
Right,
like,
right,
this
right.
This was like, when he tried, I'm like, what is it? And what the fuck did he say at the time? That was just when I was in my 20s, but he must have said something like, it's this really, what could he have said? They're the workshops where this guy makes me feel really positive about myself. I don't even know what the
maybe
fuck he said.
Maybe it's empowering or something, or it's like self-improvement or something
and
like that.
His sister had brought him in oof. In the same way, and he was told he needed people to come, and I went.
It was a bringer. It's like a cult that's a bringer. You gotta have 20 asses in the seats.
Well, the funny thing is I'm going through improv classes exactly at the same time at Improv Olympic. I go there and it's a convention center. There must have been 500,000 people in there.
Oh my God.
And then I don't even know where my friend is. I'm like, where's Dave? And then they're like, okay, before we get to the graduation ceremony, we're going to break you off into groups of 20.
Here we go.
And then we all go, and I'm like, what? And I can't even get my head around what this is I'm at.
Yeah.
The only graduation I've been is a high school graduation. I think he's just going to walk across the stage and get a diploma. So then we go into a separate, smaller room. Where it's some, you know, some minion in there. And this guy has a chart up on a, you know, easel. And he's like talking about life in these big, broad terms. Life has, I'm totally making this shit up, but it's decades ago. But it's like, life has many barriers that we must overcome. Fear is one of those barriers. And I think at some point I went, hey, what's the graduation? And what is this? And everyone kind of looked at me like I was the crazy one, like, hey, pipe down, buddy. We're talking about life here. Like, this
How rude of you.
And then he said something else. And I just argued with him about something. I'm like, well, I don't think that's true. And I'm like, but now I'm like at my friend's graduation, supposedly getting in an argument in a small room off of a larger room. And then they told me to leave. And I was like, all right, this is crazy.
Do you guys know Nexium? You know the Nexium one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like a famous sex cult.
I was going hiking. I just want to tell you real quick. I saw somebody, they had, it said Nexium for their license plate. And I was like, oh my God, this is like, I was hiking in there. I saw their
when
like
that news
Land
hit,
Rover there.
I was reading one of the newspaper articles and it listed a bunch of people that they had like tried to recruit.
No.
And one
way.
Of them was someone that I had been hooking up with for a while.
I thought it was gonna be you.
No.
I thought it was gonna be you too.
No, it was a lady that I had a relationship with.
Interesting.
And I gotta tell you, I felt pretty fucking cool. It's like I was hooking up with a Nexium level, Nexium target level. No, she's like, great, we're still friends.
Because if you're being recruited, that means you're totally hot and they're going to use you to recruit other people.
Yeah.
They wanted fancy people. They didn't take just anybody.
And she and I are still friends. And like, I did finally text her one day and I was like, hey, like, is everything all right with that? I saw you. And she was like, yeah, they like came at me and I brushed it off. I don't even know how my name got out there, but I was like, kudos to you. Like they were, that is on some level a compliment. If Nexium's trying to get you in, that's kudos to you.
Kudos to you.
That teal woman though.
First so, Battlestar Galactica, now this.
That teal woman, I think it's so strange that guys lives with her for 17 years and like does her hair every month.
No kidding.
He like hennas her hair every
month. She's been married 5 times and he's in the house all 5 times.
Yeah, all 5 times. All 5 times they've lived together. That's healthy. Forever. I know. And everybody's like, this is perfect. This makes perfect sense to me.
And Pam, with this engagement ring, I want you to be, you're the love of my life, and I want you to be my wife forever. I love you. I love you. Please say yes.
Oh, I like that. That's nice. And that makes me feel empowered. I will say yes, but I want you to know something.
Okay.
Ken stays. Ken stays in the house. Ken lives with us.
Your assistant?
Yeah, Ken's my life partner. I prefer life partner to assistant.
Assistant's so, just for the tax forms.
Yeah.
We say assistant for the tax forms, but it's...
I'm a husband.
That's fine.
The definition of husband is probably life partner.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Sure.
Well, I mean, not your first four, but me. I'll be with you for life, honey. You've said I'm your soulmate.
Yes, I have said you're my soulmate, and I did mean it. You're my soulmate. Ken's my life partner. What's so hard to understand?
Okay. And what room is Ken going to be in?
Look, I want to tell you something, okay? When the world is spinning on its axis, and we're all just wondering, how do I fit in? You think to yourself, is that gravity I feel? And of course, your feet are planted. You see.
Well said. Okay. I'm not going to clap for you.
Thank you, Ken.
It'll be great. It'll be a wonderful situation. I'll be on hand to make sure that everyone's nutrients are on point, that everyone's vitamins are accounted for.
Okay, chef is fine. I'm good with that.
We'll make sure that sunlight allocation is dealt with. We'll make sure that with each level of zine that we attain, we'll make sure that the footing is firm. We'll make sure that the...
I like the chef part.
Atmosphere that we exist within is amenable to our goals.
So we cut to the wedding nights. After the wedding reception, they make their way back to their marriage bed to... All right, Ken, so this is it for us. Good night.
Oh, good night. I'm so looking forward to seeing what new stunts and tricks you pull sexually now that you're married.
I meant good night, but maybe you want to give us some privacy. It's going to be a great night.
You are right. It is going to be a good night. It's going to be a great night. And I'm standing by with the pen of Antilles to chronicle it all in the Journal of Lore.
Yes, it all has to be taken down in the book and sent up to the
heavens. Can't you just tell him afterwards?
No, it has to be an accurate record. And sometimes Ken
is... Just a half hour afterwards.
That's much too long. Ken stays, Ken watches, Ken takes it down.
He watches us have sex every time we have sex?
Yes. And I just want you to know, it won't be that often.
And I just want you to know...
This is good news.
We've discussed it, and I don't know that we're ready for potential insemination. So when you climax, you'll climax into this chalice.
Whoa.
I'll hold this chalice, this grail.
Whoa, gross. It's half filled.
I'll hold this grail and you'll ejaculate into the grail. And we'll hold the
sacred seed. Whose ejaculate is this in here?
She's been married 4 other times.
And Zane. Oh my goodness. I wanted to ask Chris Gethard if he has seen Pistol.
Pistol? I don't think I have.
Pam, have you?
No.
The Danny Boyle Sex Pistols show?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Okay. Okay. enough to talk about with someone who's seen it.
Sorry.
That's all right.
We're posers. We're posers.
Well, he's Mr. Punk. He's about to go to the fest, right?
Oh, yeah. I got booked at fest again. Yeah. Go to fest.
That is very cool.
Yeah. That's a very fun time. And the comedy stage keeps growing. And this year, I think it's going to be really, really great.
So what's the big bands at fest this year, like the legendary bands? Or I should say old school bands.
I know, out of what's been announced, I know the Menzingers are going to be there, the Bouncing Souls. I know the Ergs are doing another reunion set there. I'm excited about that as a Jersey
guy. That's your boys.
Yeah, those guys are great. And just a whole bunch. I just met a band. I just had a very funny situation happen where I was, just last weekend, I did stand-up and tapings of my podcast in Portland and Seattle.
Okay.
And I found out that our mutual friend, Jeff Rosenstock,
okay,
was also playing in Portland and Seattle those nights.
Cool.
And it was cool. Got to stop by and see him in Seattle, but I was also bummed because, you know, he's played my TV show a bunch, so there's definitely some shared people who know our work, and I'm like, ah, he puts on a much more fun show. Like, people, that's going to hurt my ticket sales.
Oh, I didn't get that part of it. Okay,
yeah, that I was worried. I was worried about it, but that all worked out. But the really funny part is that I travel with an audio engineer who records Beautiful Anonymous because it's a phone call based podcast and it's kind of a tricky system. So I can't just ask like a venue sound people to do all that. It's too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But she got sick the morning we were supposed to leave.
Mm.
So now where this comes into play is, She's good friends with Jeff's opening band, who I'd never met, and she had arranged. She was like, instead
who's
of
the
like,
opening band,
it's are this you band called that? Cat Bite. It's this. There's like, you know, ska's back. Ska went from like very pop, ska punk in the 90s, popular, and then it fell apart, became kind of like an easy joke, and now it's like the hippest shit. Now all the punk kids love ska again, mm-hmm. And there's this band Cat Bite from Philly, and they're great. They're good. But I'd never met them. I'd never spoken to any of them. And my friend Andrea had arranged for us to catch a ride with Cat Bite. She's like, instead of flying or paying, renting a car, let's just ride up. They have room in their van for us. So then Andrea got sick. So I, a 42-year-old father of a 3-year-old, spent like 6 hours in a van with a ska band that I didn't know. And they were really lovely, nice people. But man, it was one of those things where I was like, I was saying to somebody, I was like telling somebody in Portland, I was like, yeah, I'm like riding up with this band, they're a ska band, I don't really know them, I hope I'm not a bot. And she's like, how come everything with you has to be like 3 times more, like why couldn't you just buy a fucking train ticket or a bus ticket? Like why are you going to be in a van with a ska band for 6 hours?
We cut to Chris getting into the back of the ska van. Hey, yeah, just hand me your suitcase.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, I just have a backpack. I travel late.
Okay.
Personally. Wow.
My name's Brent.
Nice to meet you, Brent. It's really nice of you guys to give me a ride. I'll just try to stay out of the way.
This is Pam.
Hey, hi,
Pam.
How's it going?
Hey, can we just get something just to us as always an elephant in the room? We just want to talk about at the beginning of the trip.
Sure.
Are you one of those guys that used to make fun of ska when it was easy? Because I know you're a comedian, and that was always a thing, especially in the 90s, to really go after ska, and we didn't appreciate it. And my older brother, he was also in a ska band when it was really tough back in those 90s.
Just be honest, dude. Just be honest.
Just yes or no?
It can only be yes or no. I can't.
Okay, give us the gray area. Give us the nuance of this. Because you just said yes by saying that.
Well, I'll tell you something. When I was 13 years old, Less Than Jake played my friend's backyard. It was the second show I ever went to.
Okay.
Before they got famous.
Everyone but Pam is super impressed.
It was.
Okay.
What the fuck? Pam, be cool. Less Than Jake.
What the?
I saw them 5 or 6 times throughout high school. I loved them. I bands like Slapstick.
He's buttering us up.
MU330, Mustard Plug. These bands meant the world to me. Okay?
And then. And then.
Don't say Oppa. He said it.
I'm not going to lie.
Okay, here we go.
When
this
I got to my mid-20s, it was an easy joke to make, and I did make fun of ska.
Oh, so this is like a first wave, second wave thing.
I want you to think about why you made fun of ska, because you were ashamed of yourself and what you enjoyed.
If I'm being totally honest?
Yes.
I think you just fucking nailed it, actually. Yeah.
There we go.
I think I was looking back on my childhood and feeling like I was always going to be that geeky kid. But that music was fun and that time in my life was great, and I wish that I hadn't gotten jaded and betrayed it.
I feel like you're letting them off easy. That's the easy explanation. Oh, I was looking back on my childhood. What I think you're doing was going for the easy laugh.
That's true.
Just like all comedians in their 20s do. They just go for the easy laugh.
You built your career on ska jokes. Admit it.
Listen, it's not like ska bands made it difficult, okay? I have seen bands with names like Mephiscopheles and the Ska Skank Redemption. Those are real bands I've seen.
Brilliant name.
No, they're just creepy.
They're opening themselves up.
That's terrible.
They're opening themselves up.
You can't use the word ska in a ska band.
I love a good punny name.
If you name your band the Ska Skank Redemption, then people are going to make fun of it. And you got to just own that.
Brilliant. That should be an improv group, not a ska group.
I'm going to say Shawshank Redemption was probably the Oscar-winning movie of the year. So brilliant. Brilliant.
You can't use the word ska in the name of your band. I got to side with this fucking guy, Chris.
As many times as you want.
No, that's bad.
As many times as you want.
I understand it gets you mad, and I get why. I was part of the problem, okay? But I'm here today saying, I thank you for the ride, and I'm glad we're hashing it out, and I want to be part of the solution moving forward. In fact, I want to be part of the ska-lution. I want to help spread.
They all look at each other like, is he making fun of us or is he part of us?
I want to spread word that ska's cool again and that there's a lot of really creative, youthful energy being poured into it right now. And that's always a good thing.
Yeah. That part we like to hear. It's when you get into the ska puns. I feel like
I love
I'm being,
I
no,
say,
Pam,
that's winning
you
me over.
You bring out the worst in ska.
I love it.
The ska puns is why people hate us.
Yeah, and you know what? All of our older brothers were in ska bands. All of them.
Of course they were. What else are you supposed to do if you play brass in the fucking school band? What else are you going to do with that?
Nothing.
There was just this brief window in the 90s where marching band kids got to feel cool on the cutting edge. And I don't begrudge them that. So why don't we just get in the van and we'll ride up there and you'll let me hash it out with you and I'll pay my penance and offer up my apologies. And then before you know it, we'll all be in ska at all.
You asshole! And scene.
I liked it.
He pulled out that pun at the end.
Great guys, though. Great bands. Cat bite.
I don't think I've ever hated ska, Chris. I did hear all the jokes in the 90s. NoFX always had kind of a... They would have their... one ska song per album, a lot of bands did that.
It was fun. It was fun music that fit the time.
But like you say, why does it fit this time now? Because like you say, it's coming back.
I'm not sure how it happened. A lot of it is, there's this one person who ran a thing called Ska Tune Network, which
yes,
I swear
I
it was like a cartoon
about
network.
Last time
we did talk about it.
I think you did.
Oh
I
my
think
god!
You plugged this guy,
and I can't believe that that's what brought it all back. But it seems like that is just their level of enthusiasm was so high, and it spread word on so much that kids got on board. And I'm like, God bless.
Cool.
That's awesome.
I want to bring back something. I want to bring back the Smothers Brothers.
I have
for
Smothers
real.
Brothers yo-yo. Smothers Brothers, in its time, it was before my time, but it was like pretty political and like pretty...
I think when it started getting political, they got canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They would
Their albums weren't political at all. And that's what I like in getting educated on them. When they started doing a show, it became very satirical. Tom wanting to do that more than Dick and really pushing it when the networks would push back on them. They would do it more and more and more, like Pam just said, to the point that they got canceled. But the stuff I've come to appreciate is their early duo stuff. I assumed, Chris, it was going to be like because my parents had these albums. I didn't listen to them because I did listen to Tom Lehrer and I hated him. That's his name, right? The piano, Tom Lehrer, right?
I don't know who it is.
I'm not sure.
But I didn't like I didn't like political comedy songs. And I thought that's what they were. So I avoided them. And, but now as an adult in the last few years, I've listened to them like, they're really fucking funny. They just sing normal songs and it's the banter in between the songs. It's really funny. That yo-yo is a bit they did post in their latter years. I don't think it's as funny, quite frankly, but I say, check out early Smothers Brothers listeners. Cut to a year later. Everybody's listening to the Smothers Brothers.
You did it.
I did it.
I want to thank you guys for coming down. I know that the boardroom isn't easy to get to, and we're all busy people.
Yeah.
You know, when I fought for you to get on our network, I said, these guys are wacky, slapstick, funny, high laugh per minute ratio. America's going to love it. And America did. They loved it. Watching you fall down, watching you do yo-yo tricks. I mean, I've never seen a sibling duo take over the way yours did.
Yeah.
So why you got to go on your most recent episodes and be talking about sex trafficking so much? We know it's a problem and we all want it to stop. But do you really think that the Dweeble Bros are the people who are going to stop sex trafficking? Or should?
I didn't want to.
Well, I really feel strongly about it. As a Dweebobo, we have a lot of followers, and I feel like we really need to get the word out there about sex trafficking.
I think he didn't even want to do it until you guys said you had this list of topics to stay away from. He didn't even know what that was at first because he's into sex a lot more than I am. He looks it up. Now he's all mad about it. You just want to do it because they said don't do it.
Hey, look, they brought it to my attention, right? They put it on a list. I looked it up and I was like, oh, geez, no good, bad. We got to take a stand. We got to use our platform for good.
I've been racking my brain because, you know, I want to do everything I can to stop sex trafficking. It's a brutal and horrible thing.
Thank you.
We all do.
I also think America likes wacky jokes, and I, frankly, do miss them on the airwaves. I feel like maybe even just slight adjustment. I mean,
we had this whole bit. This is how much a bit changes in the time of a week. On Monday, the bit was he and I get into this trunk that's way too small for us to fit into. Because we're packing our bags, we end up packing ourselves. Comical. It's funny, physical comedy.
Exactly what we want. Exactly what I bought. Exactly what's been working. Okay. High ratings.
By you know Friday, we open the trunk, and there's some dead women in there.
Yeah.
14-year-old girls who have died because they've been transported across the border for a pedophile ring.
We had to show it.
Don't you think it might be a little unfair to the American viewing audience who's so used to three seasons of wacky jokes where maybe like a bunch of springy snakes would have come out of that suitcase a year ago, or a skunk that could have jumped out and sprayed everybody and yelled something in French and then ran away?
Or we're in the trunk, skunk jumps in, we can't find a key to open the trunk. That'd be amazing. Skunk
trunk. These are all skunk suggestions.
I would love skunk trunk.
Absolutely classic American. Don't you think that just switching to bits that end not with punchlines, but graphic imagery of the end result of human trafficking is a little bit of pulling the rug out from America?
Well, the rug needs to be pulled. It needs to be pulled out, taken outside, and beaten. Because I'll tell you right now, this is an issue I feel strongly about. I'm going to shout it from the rooftops and from that soundstage.
Okay, last week you guys were like, gave us some lists. No jokes about animal testing because of all our makeup advertisers.
Yeah.
He didn't even know what that meant.
He finds out they're
fucking putting chemicals in rabbits' eyes and buzz and fucking electrodes up a fucking mink's assholes.
Terrible.
So he gets the film of that. We're supposed to do a whole...
Believe me, yeah, I saw it.
Why? No, I didn't like it either. But it's your guy's fault. If you don't bring it up, he won't know. But he doesn't know about these issues.
I was even going to just say, Dave, like maybe if you guys are going to take political stance, you could be the one to talk to him because you're Dave Dweebo and you talk like this. But we can all admit that Donnie has more of, you know, the wacky voice. Like,
excuse me?
It coming out of Donnie Dweebo's voice is
it's almost more jarring.
Well, it almost feels like you're making fun of people are watching going, I thought this was a comedy show. Are they making fun of this? I mean, there was a whole setup with seltzer bottles and
we cut to 30 minutes after the meeting. Dave's talking to the executive out in the hall. Hey, what was that? Making fun of my brother's voice.
I wasn't trying to make fun of your brother's
voice. He doesn't really consider it weird.
Your brother has a very funny voice. That was fucked up. Your brother has a very funny voice.
He's like Mike Nichols about his hairpiece. Do not talk about his voice.
I don't know what to tell you except to say that if you're going to screen footage of a mink having electrocuting electrodes put up its asshole, that it only feels more insulting to have the person sound like this when they're talking about it. It seems like you're making jokes.
That's his real voice, though, man.
I know that.
That's his real
voice.
And
you know that. But the American viewing public thinks that this is somehow...
Oh, hey, buddy. We were just talking.
Hi. How are you, Donnie?
I just recorded myself and listened to it for the first time in my life.
How's that possible?
What'd you think?
I always use the automated recording on my voicemail. I never watch our shows because I can't stand to see myself. I never listen to
our
records.
You're never in the editing room.
Never. You always do that to me. Never. And now I know I don't sound like anyone else. I have a weird voice.
And scene. That's actually a scene in the Sex Pistol show is when Johnny Rotten realizes how bad his voice is, which I found hilarious. Like he actually heard his voice and was like ashamed of it. He's like, what? That's hard to believe.
He thinks he's like singing really well, and then he's
no,
like,
oh. But he's never. This is the first time he's ever heard himself. Period, and they'd never sung with monitors before.
Oh,
so he hears his voice coming back at him, and it just sounds totally annoying. I'm not sure what he thought was going out. And that's what everyone else loved, and everyone else is like, no, keep it. We like that weird voice. And speaking of weird voices, Pam, would you like to plug your cartoon?
Sure. Well, it doesn't come out until May 2023. Coming to Fox.
What?
Crapopolis.
Wow, that takes a long time.
Yeah, it takes
Artist,
a long time. I guess it takes a long time.
Do some blow.
Congrats, though. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it comes out next May. They were
excellent.
Showrunner was like, oh, we got a premiere date. It's May 23. And this was like in February. And I was like, oh, cool. It's May 23rd. No. I was like, we're behind on recordings. Did I get fired? And then it's not until May of 2023. Oh.
Well, congrats anyway. And everyone will remember that plug, I'm sure.
Thank you.
Chris is going to be at the fest. That's in Gainesville, right?
Yeah, Halloween weekend, and I'm.
Oh, is that far away?
It is. Yeah, it's every
everything's
Halloween weekend,
far away.
Sorry, folks. I see stuff on social media and assume it's right around the corner.
Oh, but I tell you, I'm touring all over the country and doing the Edinburgh Festival in all of August. So people can.
There you go.
Find info on all of them at chrisgeth.com. So I got a whole bunch of tour dates coming up.
There you go. He's all over the place. You can see him or hear his show, Beautiful Anonymous. And humans, go to mattbesser.com to find out what I'm doing. I believe I have a Santa Fe date in August. But keep being human.
Improv for Humans with Matt Besser is an Airwolf production. Produced by Britt Morris, Amelia Chapello, and Anita Flores. Engineered by Britt Morris. Music by Dragoon. Find our latest merch at budswag.com. Help get the word out by telling a friend about the show today. Make sure to rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. Want more? Find the full archive, ad-free episodes, as well as original premium series from Matt and Brett on Stitcher Premium. For photos, show notes, and more, go to earwolf.com.